everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
If there's one thing that I love, it's stories about cryptids. Bigfoot, Mothman, the Loch Ness Monster. These creatures are more than just legends. They're archetypes that have persisted throughout time, the culmination of centuries of folklore. Even if you don't believe there's actually a Bigfoot scampering around the Pacific Northwest, you can't deny that his image, the half-ape, half-man creeping through the forest, is culturally significant. But if Bigfoot is an A-list celebrity in the cryptid world, there are tons of other weird creatures playing supporting roles. The Yeti, the Chupacabra, the Jersey Devil, and one you've probably never heard of, the Skwonk. According to legend, the Skwonk is native to the hemlock forests of Pennsylvania. Unlike many fearsome folkloric creatures, the Skwonk poses no threat to humanity. It's small, slow, and remarkably dumb. It's also pretty easy to hunt. An account published in 1926 tells the story of a famous American finding his very own Skwonk. As the story goes, Paul Bunyan and his men were in a Pennsylvania forest chopping down timber when they heard, and I quote, "queer wailing some distance away." Curious, they followed the sound. Eventually, they noticed a trail on the ground, a wet, salty residue left behind by something. The noise and the trail led those loggers to a little den in the woods, built out of dirt and leaves. They peered inside and found, I'm sorry to say, a creature that can only be described as utterly repulsive. Its wrinkled skin was marked with moles and warts. Its feet were webbed, but only on the left side, giving it a distinctly asymmetrical appearance. Essentially, it was like a weird, saggy, slightly amphibious pig. But the worst part of all, the Skwonk was self-aware. It seems that that noise that Paul Bunyan and his buddies heard was the sound of the Skwonk crying, mourning its own ugliness. And the wet, salty trail was the Skwonk's tears, soaking into the forest floor. The lumberjacks reportedly grabbed the sobbing animal and shoved it into a bag to carry it home. I don't know if they planned to eat it or keep it as a pet or what, but whatever their plan was, it didn't work out. The next time they opened up the bag, the Skwonk was gone, reduced to a puddle of salt water. It had cried so hard that it simply dissolved into nothing. Now, if you're anything like me, you have two thoughts right now. First, poor Skwonk. Poor, ugly little Skwonk. And second, this whole thing is kind of relatable. Like, when life is a little too much to handle, who doesn't want to just burrow into the dirt and sob themselves out of existence? Ultimately, though, the Skwonk is like any other cryptid. It's a story with zero proof, but it feels different to me than the Bigfoots, Mothmen, and Nessies of the world. So many creatures in folklore arise out of fear, the fear of an ape-like monster stalking you through the woods or a sea serpent dragging you beneath the water's surface. But the Skwonk is sympathetic. It's gentle. It's so ugly that it's almost cute. As strange as it sounds, I honestly find the Skwonk sort of charming. And I'm not the only one. Although the cryptid was first recorded in 1910, it's recently been the subject of some pop culture coverage. At least two different bands, the American rock group Steely Dan and the British band Genesis, have songs that reference the Skwonk. There's even a Skwonk-inspired character in the video game Final Fantasy. So listen, if the story of the Skwonk teaches us anything, it's that you can be fascinating and legendary no matter what you look like. And also, if you ever need to escape a tough situation, try crying really, really hard.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org. For more info now.
Look, no one is good at everything. While there are people who are skilled in multiple disciplines and possess knowledge across many fields, the truth is that most of us are only adept at one or two things. Someone might be a talented artist or a skilled engineer, but that doesn't stop us from learning new skills or developing new passions. We may pick up the guitar or try our hand at painting. As for J.J. Sylvester, well, he probably should have stuck to math. James Joseph Sylvester was born on September 3rd of 1814 in London, England. He had a bit of a rough childhood growing up, having been taken out of school when he was 14 for allegedly stabbing another student with a knife. He ended up transferring from the University of London to the Liverpool Royal Institution, but didn't really get into math until he reached St. John's College, Cambridge in 1831. Now, Sylvester did very well in college, even when he was forced to take a two-year hiatus after falling seriously ill. In 1837, he took Cambridge's TRIPOS examination and ranked second among the other students. Unfortunately, he was unable to graduate with his degree, as he could not complete one prerequisite. All graduates had to accept the 39 Articles of the Church of England upon completing their studies, and Sylvester was the son of a Jewish merchant father. His religious background put him at a significant disadvantage when it came to work after college as well, as he was ineligible for any fellowships or math prizes. Still, he persevered and found work at University College London as a professor of natural philosophy. He even went on to earn both a bachelor's degree and a master's from Trinity College Dublin in 1841. But he didn't exactly have a temperament for teaching. It seemed that Sylvester had trouble controlling his anger among his students. After moving to America and becoming a math professor at the University of Virginia, he resigned after less than 4 months. It seems one of his students had been rudely reading a newspaper in one of his classes and insulted him when called out for his behavior. Sylvester, in turn, whacked him with a sword cane, causing him to fall to the ground. The professor thought that he had killed the boy, but had only mildly wounded him. Except he didn't resign in disgrace, and nor did the school force him to leave. Sylvester quit because he didn't feel the university's administration had disciplined the student harshly enough. And so, J.J. sailed home to England, where he became an actuary at the Equity and Law Life Assurance Society. Around the same time, he met another mathematician named Arthur Cayley, and the pair developed several important mathematical theories over the course of their partnership. By the time Sylvester died in 1897 at the age of 82, he had accomplished much. He'd returned to teaching. He'd become a noted math scholar and intellectual, and he knew how to swing a stick well enough to make it hurt. But one thing that he was not remembered for was his poetry. You see, J.J. loved poetry. It was a passion of his and had been all his life. He often read books of poetry in other languages, such as French and Greek, and then translated them into English. He also incorporated poetic quotes into his mathematical essays for a bit of artistic flair. But he didn't just read the stuff. Sylvester also wrote it. He once printed a book of his own composition called Spring's Debut, a town idyll, in which every line rhymed with the word in. And there was also his poem Rosalind, a 400-piece magnum opus in which every line rhymed with that name, Rosalind. In fact, here's just a sample. Fairest, O of lily kind, perfect pearl and priceless find. Pure as poet's milk-white hind, spirit from all dross refined, hearts to ravish, heavens designed. And it goes on like that for another 395 lines. Sylvester once read Rosalind for the members of Baltimore's Peabody Institute, but not before he gave everyone in attendance a thorough education on the work. He read them every footnote to avoid having to stop to read and explain the context, and then began reciting the poem. There was just one problem. Almost nobody had stuck around to hear it. He'd actually taken an hour and a half to get through all the footnotes, and by the time he got to the actual piece, most of the attendees had already walked out. I guess the idea of a mathematician writing poetry just didn't add up.
I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show. And you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.